December, I got a notice from the Board of Pigeons of the United Methodist Church that the fund where I was putting my retirement money was changing, and that fund would no longer exist. It was one of those funds where it was safe, didn't pay a whole lot, but it kind of guaranteed your money. And we all know that the stock market has had a little bit of a problem the last year or so. So I had to choose a new fund. And I had to do that by December 31st. So, you know, I like to do things ahead of time. So on the 30th, I sat down and got onto my computer and went to the website. And I thought it was interesting that to do this, to shift the money, you had to go into two sections. You first had to go in and say, okay, here's where I want all the money I put in the past invested from now on. And then you fill that out and you make that choice and you send it in and you submit it and it confirms it, and then you print out something. And then you have to go into another section and say, here's the money that'll be where I want the money invested that I send in the future. And you go in and you make your choice there, and up comes the screen, you choose, you submit it, comes back, confirms it, you print that out. Well, you know, I realized that that was really a lot like baptism. That in baptism, we are taking care of the past as well as the future. In the second reading for this Sunday from the book of Acts, we hear these words. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" And they replied, "No. We've not even heard that there was a Holy Spirit." And then he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they answered, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said to them, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him. And this is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. And all together, there were about 12 of them. You see, that the baptism that we have in the life of the church is a baptism that takes care of the past, but it's another baptism that really takes care of the present and the future. That it's good that we come to the Lord and we deal with the past in our lives, the sins we've committed, the darkness that existed in our lives. But God is also saying in Christ Jesus that baptism gives us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reminds us always when we make a mistake, when we're not walking in the light. And the Holy Spirit gives us a new vision for life so we can see the good in life instead of just the darkness. The Holy Spirit is there to prepare us for the future and to take us right on to the kingdom. In the Genesis account, we hear the first thing God did in creating this universe, this world of ours, was separating light from darkness. The world, the material that existed, was a formless void. There was water everywhere. And the first thing God did was say, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw the light and he saw that it was good. And God separated the darkness from the light, and he called the light day and the darkness night. When we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we participate in the power of God to distinguish better between the things of darkness and the things of light. In Bible study Wednesday night, we were talking about the creation of God and how he created us. And someone said that we participate in creation. That to be created in the image of God means that we're creative like God too. And when we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, we are given a better vision for what is good in life. We can see the things of life, of light, rather than just the things of darkness. You know, it amazes me as through the years I have worked with children who have been abused by the people that they should trust the most and rely on the most, their own mothers and fathers. Abused to the point that social services comes in and takes these children away from their parents for their own safety and their own good. But when you ask those children, what do you want most? They say, I want mama or daddy. They want to be back home with their parents. The very parents who abused them or neglected them. We just saw on the news last week a woman from California that met somebody online here. Was it here in North Carolina or somewhere on the East Coast? And left a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old for about 3 weeks to come here and find this person they met online, hoping they'd get married. And in spite of that kind of neglect that we would consider neglect, those children, if they had their choice, would be with their mother. What is it about children that is able to see the goodness and the light in life? There's darkness all around, and as adults, we see that darkness. But children see the light. That's why they're so vulnerable. They haven't yet lived long enough for the darkness to creep into their lives and make them what we call streetwise. That's why we have to watch our children like hawks. Because there are people out there who'll steal them away from us and kill them and abuse them. Because children inevitably look for the good in people. You can tell your children over and over and over again, don't go anywhere with a stranger. But in a child's mind, you've pretty much got to be a monster before they believe you're bad. And the people who would steal them away from us are very skillful at reaching out to our children, because our children so want to see the goodness in life around them. And we think in our world, we can't let our children be that way. And yet our Lord said, lest we become as a little child, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, one of the ways God protects us is through the power of the Holy Spirit. God enables us to see the goodness in others, the goodness even in the worst of us. Not that we have to be foolish, but not that we have to be pessimistic and dismal. We live in a day and age where we lock ourselves in our homes. We lock ourselves away from other people. We don't visit as much. We don't socialize as much. We don't go out as much because we see the darkness of the world. sent our Lord to bring light into our lives. Isaiah says the people who lived in darkness have seen a great light. That was the prophecy of Jesus coming. To be able to see the light in life. To be able to separate the light from the darkness. To make wiser, better decisions instead of being overcome by the darkness of this world. Is there reason to lock ourselves in our homes? To limit our time of going out into the world? Yes. There's a dark world around us. But as Christians, we need to be able to separate the light from the darkness. We need to be agents of God's light pushing back the darkness of this world. We need to have the courage to venture out in the name and protection of Jesus Christ to make a difference and turn the darkness into light. One of my favorite verses was read this morning as Elaine read the scripture from John. The light was coming into the world, and the darkness has not overcome it. Through our baptism, we're assured that the worst darkness of this world will never put out the light of Christ. The death of a beloved loved one does not have to be a darkness that puts out the light. Sickness and disease, cancer eating away at our bodies and trying to eat away at our hope doesn't have to put out the light if we trust in what God has given us through the power of the Holy Spirit in our baptisms. The difficulties that sometimes arise in our personal lives, in our financial lives, does not have to bring dark and gloom and disaster if we trust in the light that is within us, because God has given us His Holy Spirit in our baptisms. When we face dark decisions that would overwhelm us, the light of Christ shines as surely as this candle is glowing here before us. That is why in this season of Epiphany, we light this candle. We move from the Advent wreath to this single candle, because Jesus is a light to the nations, a light to the world. But if that light is going to go out to the world, we've got to carry it. We've got to believe in it. We have to be, as Jesus said, children of light. And we help push back the darkness. When things get tough for us at school, and there's a lot of ugliness and hatefulness going on as kids, as teenagers, we've got to be the light in that darkness. We've got to push back the darkness by what we do, by what we say, how we act. When we're at work and there's darkness around us because of the deeds of others, we have got to be the light in that situation and push back the darkness. And when our own personal darkness creeps in, maybe in the form of a debilitating depression, we have got to believe in what God has already done in us, even if we don't feel it, and reach for the light and push back the darkness. I can identify with people who've been that down and that depressed, because there was a time a few years ago when I was so depressed, I was suicidal. But I was trying to hide it from everyone. I had planned how I was going to do it. I knew the place I'd planned on committing suicide. I tried to plan it so I wasn't likely to take another person with me, and I planned it in such a way if the first way didn't get me, there was a backup. That's how serious I was. That's how much darkness was in my life. I had a loving wife, a loving family, friends. But you see, I didn't share the depth of my darkness with them. And you see, when we keep those thoughts in the darkness of our soul as we go downhill, it just gets darker and darker and darker. And we somehow think we can handle it until we get to the point that we think that getting out of this life is a solution. It's that dark. It's that dim. It's that hopeless. And I'll never forget the day I was sitting in our sunroom on the front of the house. Jane and John were trying to get me to go with them, and I wouldn't go. And John said, "You know, you don't do anything with us anymore. What's wrong?" And I said, "I am so down and depressed, I don't even want to live." I had created such a dark world that I couldn't see the light. And I had created such a dark logic to explain the choice. And I shared some of that with them, and I'll never forget my son putting his arms around me, both standing there in tears, and saying, "Dad, there's nothing you could ever do that would cause me not to love you." And Jane came and put her arms around both of us, and I began to see a little flicker of light in those tears, in those hugs, was hope. And I began to separate the light from the darkness. And that's all the push I needed. I knew what to do, but I was on a downhill slide, and I just needed to turn the corner up a little bit. And it was the love of my family that made that turn for me, that gave me a little bit of hope. And then I turned my eyes to the hope that is in Christ. And I remembered what was already mine through the Holy Spirit. And I picked up a book that I had not touched for 5 months that was by my chair and read it. And it was just what God wanted me to read to help me zoom out of the darkness of that pit of despair. If we don't learn to separate the light from the darkness in our lives, if we don't learn to be the light that pushes back the darkness in other people's lives when they're so far down they can't see the light, they can't even see a candle flickering, then we're in trouble. But the Holy Spirit will send the light if we will yield to that power in our lives. Is the light of Christ in you? Do you believe it? That God gave it to you just as Paul shared it with those 12 in Ephesus? That God's not just taking care of your past, God's going to take care of your future all the way to the kingdom. And when you can't take care of it, He'll send someone else to push back the darkness. And they'll make a difference in your life. And then you can make a difference in someone else's. No matter how bad things get in this world, the light has shined in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. That's our confidence. That's our hope. That's the power of the Spirit given to us in our baptism. Will you separate the light from the darkness? Let us pray. Gracious Father, when you moved over the formless void in the deep, the first act of creation in this world was to create light. And your Son came into the world and said, "I am the light of the world," and challenged us to be children of light. Lord, there's a lot of darkness in our world. There may be a lot of darkness in some people's lives here this morning. But you can push back the darkness with your light. That is your promise in our baptism. That is why you came into the world, to give us a hope that cannot be trampled down, a light that cannot be extinguished, a belief that cannot be surrendered and overcome with doubt and darkness. May we be people of the light. May we push back the darkness and make a difference in our world as we learn to separate light from darkness and to see things through your eyes and the eyes of the Holy Spirit, where we need to speak and act and make a difference for ourselves and for others. May we push back the darkness with the light of Christ, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.